11 o'clock. It's KOIN in Portland, News Radio 97.
CBS News. Arab foreign ministers have told Secretary of State Kissinger that the United States will have to do more to bring peace in the Mideast. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Lebanese Foreign Minister Nafa, who was speaking on behalf of Arab leaders, praised Kissinger's role as mediator thus far, but Nafa said that Kissinger will have to continue working for a peaceful settlement and that a lasting settlement depends to a great extent on the U.S. position in the next few months. Kissinger, who was hosting a dinner for the Arab leaders in New York, promised that he will spare no efforts in a quest for peace. He also said he needs the support and understanding from Arab leaders in order to make progress. CBS UN correspondent Richard C. Hollett reports that the dinner was a very friendly affair. Although there was no specific mention of the oil problem, Kissinger did mention in his toast the need for economic cooperation by all countries. Kissinger and President Ford recently have called on Arab oil-producing countries to keep their prices of oil down in order to avoid global economic chaos. Kissinger plans to meet again with the Arab leaders on Tuesday, and he's scheduled to leave on October 9th for his eighth visit to the Mideast for more peace talks with Arab and Israeli leaders. More CBS News coming up.
Time Magazine. What's in it for you this week? Cover story. The relentless ordeal of political wives. Even before her present illness, Mrs. Gerald Ford has had to endure other psychological pressures. The all-pervasive tribulations of the wife of a politician.
This week, Time studies the lives of the women who have had to be wife,
mother,
cook,
chauffeur,
advisor,
campaigner,
and sometimes TV personality as well.
It's a revealing story of the physical and mental strain of life in a fishbowl.
In The Economy, summing up the summit. Who said what to whom and what it all achieved?
Substantively, not much, says Time, but it did give the public a much-needed lesson in economic reality.
This week, Time also takes you to Washington for the first shots of what observers are beginning to call the energy war.
To China for a sweeping survey of the 25 years of Chairman Mao.
And to Bonn in Paris, where the rapport between West German Chancellor Schmidt and French President Giscard d'Estaing brings new life to the old dream of a united Europe.
It's all in Time this week.
Pick up a copy today.
For Time makes everything more interesting,
including you.
President Ford spent an hour and a half with his wife on Monday night at the Bethesda Naval Hospital. Mr. Ford said that she is feeling much better after her operation on Saturday for removal of a cancerous right breast. John Meyer reports on results of tests on some of Mrs. Ford's lymph tissue.
A final pathology report on the lymph tissue removed during Mrs. Ford's mastectomy shows cancer in two of the lymph nodes, but the pathologists note that 28 other nodes showed no evidence of cancer, and also that there was no involvement in local blood vessels. They say that considering this, plus the fact that there is no clinical evidence of cancer spreading to other parts of her body, they are optimistic for Mrs. Ford's prolonged survival. Both the President and First Lady are said to be pleased by this optimistic outlook. Mrs. Ford spent a quiet day here with no visitors. The doctors say she now has good mobility of her right arm and even placed her hand on top of her head without significant difficulty. She also was taken off intravenous feedings and has been started on a diet of tea, chicken broth, and crackers. In addition, she walked a bit and sat for short periods in a rocking chair. Her discomfort is said to be steadily decreasing, with correspondingly less medication needed for pain. The doctors describe Mrs. Ford's spirit as beautiful. John Meyer, CBS News, Bethesda Naval Medical Center.
Back in a minute.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Exactly right. When sinus flares up with congestion and pain, insist on sign-off tablets. Sign-off delivers a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off helps sinus pain while you drain. Use only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-off. The sinus medicine's in the bright red box.
This is Dear Abby on the CBS Radio Network.
And hello, world. I'm Dennis Brackett.
And I'm Mike Roy for Mike Roy's Cooking Thing.
And we're all here every Monday through Saturday to make your days a bit brighter. Abby, along with Harry Bartell, reads and answers your letters about personal problems, sticky situations, or just about anything you want to ask her about. And Mike and I are here with all dandy recipes, little chatter, little patter, all in an effort to please your palate. Let you listen every Monday through Saturday for Dear Abby and Mike Roy's Cook Thing on the CBS Radio Net.
Republican Senator Jacob Javits says that he will hold a news conference Tuesday to discuss a weekend trip that he and Democratic Senator Claiborne Pell took to Cuba to talk over the possibility of better diplomatic relations with the U.S. That trip has brought criticism from New York Senator James Buckley, who says the U.S. should insist that Cuba renounce its alliance with the Soviet Union before it recognizes Cuba.
Because Castro has reduced the rhetoric of revolution over the last few years, people have gotten the idea that Cuba is no longer being used as a base for the subversion of constituted governments in Latin America. The facts are quite to the contrary, and well-documented facts.
Javits says, I think that Senator Buckley, with all respect, is completely premature on his condemnations or his suppositions as to what we were there to do and what we found out. Says Javits, I want to know, and our people and our Congress and our president will then judge. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
Oregon Senator Bob Packwood has promised to oppose any attempt to raise federal gasoline taxes. He says the Ford administration has proposed an increase of from 10 to 20 cents per gallon. A telephone survey conducted for a Portland newspaper shows 70% of the 600 Oregonians interviewed favor restoration of the death penalty for certain crimes. In other local headline news, a cat got into a circuit breaker at the Umatilla Electric Co-op in Pendleton last night and caused a power failure that blacked out parts of that city until early today. The body of an Oak Ridge man, 22-year-old Cecil Garland Terrell, was recovered from the Hill Creek Reservoir near Oak Ridge today. Terrell, missing since May 25th, was found in a pickup truck in 4 foot deep water. Three persons were arraigned in federal court in Medford today on charges they tried to sell $145,000 worth of phony cocaine to a narcotics agent. They are held in lieu of $20,000 bail each. A partial recount has narrowed the passage margin of the Eugene school budget to a single vote. The budget had passed by a 144-vote margin. Opponents of the budget have now asked for a recount of the other 64 precincts. 97 sports in National League Baseball. Pittsburgh over the Cubs 2-1. St. Louis downed Montreal 5-1. Philadelphia lost to the Mets 5-2. And Houston beat the Los Angeles Dodgers tonight 4-1. In the American League, two games. Cleveland 2, Boston 1, and Baltimore Club Detroit 12-6. In NFL play tonight, a game heard earlier tonight on KOIN, Washington beat Denver 30-3. 97 weather for Portland, Vancouver calls for fair skies tonight, partly cloudy, however, tomorrow, with an increasing chance of clouds tomorrow night and a chance of rain on Wednesday. Lows between 45 and 50, and in the lower 50s tomorrow night, highs in the mid-70s tomorrow, near 70 degrees on Wednesday. Light and variable winds tonight, becoming southwesterly tomorrow. Rain chance near zero through tomorrow, but it increases to 20% tomorrow night. Currently, we have 64 degrees at KOIN. The Mystery Theater is next.
KOIN!
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... G. Marshall. Welcome to the world of fantasy that is your imagination. What am I saying? One's imagination a fantasy world? Nonsense. Rubbish. I should have said the world of reality. For what can possibly be more real than that which the imaginative powers of the brain conjure up? You question that? Consider, then, what happened to lovely, imaginative Nikki Carpenter.
You can't be serious.
You know I am, Nikki.
But what you're saying, it's nonsense.
You think so? You really think so, Nikki?
Alicia, Amanda, imagination didn't kill them.
True enough, my darling. But imagination, yours, will kill you.
Mystery drama, Murder to Perfection, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by George Lowther and stars Mercedes McCambridge and Joseph Campanella. It is sponsored in part by Sinoff, the sinus medicines, and Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Excuse me, madam.
Oh, I'm in an awful hurry.
I just wonder if you could answer a simple question for me.
So do I.
The question is this.
What?
What happens this time of year?
Oh, that's easy. The kids get home from camp. Goodbye.
Nope.
What do you mean, nope?
Nope.
I mean, I should know when my kids get home from camp.
Well, the answer I had in mind was a tad more general in scope.
Well, I gave my answer. Let's hear yours.
You know, I'm glad you asked.
Are you?
You see, what happens this time of year is that Buick dealers are giving particularly great deals on all their 74 Buicks. For a family woman such as yourself, I think a neat little Apollo would be just the ticket. It's small, economical, but surprisingly roomy. And it's a Buick, so it's really quite elegant.
You don't say.
Uh-huh. Now, isn't that good news?
Yes.
I mean, that you can get such a nifty deal on such a nifty small car.
To be sure it is, yes.
To be sure. By the way, where do your kids go to camp?
Guam. It's a small island in the South Pacific.
Guam.
Who will cope with tomorrow for a brighter new day? There's one hope for tomorrow, the children of today.
Write Save the Children, Box 120, Grand Central Station, New York.
Few will deny that what we call imagination is the greatest creative, yes, and destructive force known to the human race. The paintings of the Sistine Chapel existed inside the head of Michelangelo before he expressed them on canvas. Bach, Beethoven, Brahms heard their music in imagination before setting the notes to paper. This being so, you will understand how the story I am about to tell you, though bizarre, strange, macabre in the extreme, is true in every detail.
Nikki, dear.
Yes, Bill.
It's 11:30. The funeral chapel. They'll be closing it for the night in half an hour. How about going home?
Alicia looks so lifelike there in the casket. I find it so hard to believe she's dead.
I know.
He murdered her, Bill.
No, Vicky.
Yes, he did. I know you think the sun rises and sets on your brother, but he murdered my sister. He murdered Alicia as surely as she lies dead in that coffin.
Nikki, dearest, you're tired and overwrought. You've been here all day, all night. You're exhausted thinking things that simply can't be so, saying things that make no sense. Guy loved Alicia. Why, in the year of their marriage, he was the most devoted husband a wife could ask for.
Excuse me.
Oh, Guy, come in.
Bill, Nikki, I thought everyone would be gone by now. I could spend a little time alone with Alicia.
We were just leaving, Guy.
No, I'm not. I want to be with Alicia as much as possible until she's buried tomorrow.
That's exactly the way I feel.
Oh, you liar.
Nikki.
You killed her. You murdered her in cold blood.
Nikki's overtired, Guy. Overtired.
Yes, of course, but even so, I don't understand. I mean, to say a thing like that.
Well, it's true. You know it is.
Now, look here, Nikki. Alicia fell or jumped from our apartment window. There was no one else in the apartment at the time, not even me. I was at my office downtown, so just where do you get this crazy, wild idea that I killed her? I don't know.
Well, you will.
What do you mean?
I mean that I'm going to prove that you murdered her. If it takes every cent I have in the world, if I have to dedicate the rest of my life to it...
take her home and call a doctor. She needs sedation.
Yeah. Come on, Nikki. Nikki, sweetheart, haven't you looked at her long enough?
Guy will pay for killing you, Alicia. I promise you that. I promise.
Yes, Nicky Carpenter. Oh, hello, Jacques. No, I'm not ready to announce my latest designs yet. Denim and suede combo, where did you hear that? Oh, I'm sorry, Jacques, I'm not telling. Not this early. Yes, just as soon as I'm ready to announce, I'll make sure that you're the first one to know. Bye. Yes. Oh, of course. Phil, darling, what a lovely surprise.
Hey, I'm not interrupting you in the midst of a creative brainstorm, am I, dear?
Oh, the man I madly love and I'm going to marry could never be an interruption. But this visit is unexpected.
I've got something serious to talk over with you.
Uh-huh.
It's about my brother Guy.
Yes.
I find this a little awkward, Nicky.
Awkward? Why?
Well, you and I are engaged, and that guy, he's my brother. So the whole situation. Nicky, have you hired a private detective agency to check up on Guy?
Yes.
But why?
Because he murdered my sister, Alicia. And I intend to prove that he did.
Oh, come on now, Nicky. How can you go on saying such a thing, thinking such a thing? What ever gave you the idea in the first place?
Guy, for one.
Guy?
I don't like him. I never have. Charming, yes, loaded with charm, and handsome and witty, and in my opinion, a deceitful fraud.
He just rubs you the wrong way. Even if everything you say is true, it doesn't make him a murderer.
Well, I think differently.
But you must have a reason, something more than just disliking someone.
I have. Alicia fell. Or jumped to her death from the window of their 12-story apartment.
Accident. Suicide, perhaps. Not murder.
Yes, murder.
But how in heaven's name can you say...
Because Alicia was scared to death of heights in all her life when we were kids together. She wouldn't dare go near an open window more than 2 stories above the ground. So what was she doing at that open window 12 stories above the ground?
I don't know. But it certainly doesn't make a murderer out of my brother.
Not on the face of it, no.
Guy loved Alicia. Why would he murder her?
For the $250,000 he got from her insurance.
Honey, you're letting that imagination you're so famous for run away with you.
I may be known for my imagination, but the private detective I hired isn't.
What does that mean?
I didn't know that Guy had lived in Europe for nearly 15 years. You never told me.
Never came up. Well, what's that got to do with...
He was out of touch with you, completely, totally out of touch all of those years, right?
Well, yes. I had no idea where he was.
Did you know that he'd been married twice while living abroad?
What? No.
And that both wives died under what is usually called mysterious circumstances, leaving your brother more than $500,000 in cash?
Good Lord, no. I never knew this. Guy has never told me anything about any of this.
Well, maybe you ought to ask him about it.
Look, but to be honest about it, Nicky, I've never cared much for Guy either, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh, I think it is. And it certainly confirms my feelings about him.
Feelings aren't facts. And it's facts that stand up in a court of law, and that's where you're going to find yourself if you don't drop this whole ridiculous thing. Guy intends to sue you if you don't. Sue you for defamation of character. And as a lawyer, I can tell you, he'd win, hands down. Unless you could prove your accusations, hands down.
Well, then I have nothing to worry about. He murdered his first two wives. He murdered my sister. I don't know how he did it, but he did it. And before I'm through, I'll prove it. What do you want?
I don't think it's a matter of what I want. Of what you want. Yeah, come in.
There's nothing I want from you, Guy.
Oh, you do. Believe me, you just don't know it. Yet. However, if you're not interested...
No. Wait. Come in.
I knew you'd change your mind.
You seem very sure of yourself.
Well, I'm sure of you, anyway. You see, Nicky, you're gifted with a vivid imagination. At least, so they say in the fashion company.
Well, they have to manufacture news. They exaggerate.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't think so at all. They don't exaggerate in the slightest. I just proved that.
You proved it?
I knew once I had something you wanted, your imagination would invent all sorts of interesting possibilities.
and you'd be unable to turn me away until you found out.
You're very clever. Well, what do you want? I beg your pardon. What is it I want?
Well, one thing you want is peace of mind, the ability to do your work. Another thing you want is to go on living in this very swank penthouse apartment, enjoying the fruits of the fortune you possess. Nikki, I can take all that away from you.
Oh, can you?
And will. Unless you, as they say, call off the hounds.
The private detectives.
The private detectives.
There'll be no calling off of the hounds, Guy.
All right. Then I shall sue you for defamation of character. Sue for every penny you possess.
I have not defamed you. Neither I nor the private detectives have said a word to anyone.
But I have.
You?
Of course. I knew you were taking precautions to keep your skirts clean until you could prove your suspicions. So, I upset your precautions merely by dropping the right words in the right place. Amanda Jordan being one of the right places.
That poor sad alcoholic.
Alcoholic. Yes. Sad? Yes. Poor? No. Dripping with money. That's why I'm marrying her on the 10th.
You are marrying...
You object? Save your breath. Do you no good. The point is, being alcoholic, Amanda talks so strong. She also gets around. What you're doing to me, Nikki, or trying to do to me, is all over town this very minute. And in the right places. If we went to court tomorrow, I could prove, on unimpeachable evidence, that you have hired detectives to dig into my past to substantiate false accusations you have made against me. Accusations, I may add, which happen to be anything but false. But you can't prove them, Nikki. And never will.
Are you standing there telling me that you did? That you are?
A murderer? Oh, yes.
Oh,
you're altogether right. I did murder them. All three. Your sister Alicia included.
Oh.
But, you see, all three murders were so cleverly engineered and executed that no one would ever believe I had done it, let alone succeed in proving that I had.
My God! To stand there and tell me, to my face, that you're a murderer, that you murdered my sister.
As I shall murder Amanda Jordan, thus executing another perfect crime. A murder to perfection, you might say. What are you doing?
I'm phoning Amanda.
Phoning Amanda? To tell her that I'm going to kill her? Don't be a fool. Put the phone down.
No.
All right. Go ahead.
Amanda. Amanda, this is Nikki Carpenter. Nikki Carpenter. Yes. Amanda, are you... Oh. Amanda, can you understand me?
Yes, I could have told you that.
Amanda, listen to me.
That'll be the day.
Amanda, please listen carefully now. Guy is here with me in my apartment. And he has just told me that he intends to murder you. Yes, I know you're going to marry him. That's the point of what I'm telling you. He's... No, I'm not inventing it. I am not a jealous fool.
She didn't believe you? In her hazy alcoholic way?
Oh, you are evil. You are a devil.
I haven't hesitated to tell you what I do, Nikki, because there's no way ever you can prove anything. But there's every way I can prove that you've damaged my career and altogether left yourself open to what are called punitive damages. A great big lump of punitive damages.
You evil...
And if what I've told you fails to persuade you to call off the hounds, I can still take one more step.
One more step?
Kill you, Nikki.
Oh.
Kill you. And no one the wiser.
Imagination. It plays like heat lightning in dark and ominous skies inside the heads of two people, Nikki Carpenter and Guy Weston, each seeking to combat, to outwit the other. The imaginative force within Nikki is good, that within Guy, evil. Certainly at the moment, it would appear that Nikki is helpless, that Guy has her where he wants her, that she must lose the battle. He win. Well, we'll see when I return shortly with Act Two.
St. Louis.
How many things can your family do together? Go to a movie? Go to a circus? Go on a picnic? Go on a vacation? Face it, in today's America, family fun is hard to come by. And with busy schedules, just getting the family together is not an easy thing to do. How would you like to have a little family fun every week? How would you like to learn together? How would you like to grow together? And how would you like to help your son get an edge on growing up? Cub Scouting is helping families like yours be a family. It sure helped ours. Today's Cub Scout program is just as much for families as it is for boys. So when your son wants to join a Cub Scout pack, remember to take along the whole family. That's what Cub Scouting is all about. For the Cub Scout pack nearest you, call the Boy Scouts of America. They're in the white pages of your phone book.
No such thing as the perfect crime. If that's what you've always thought, think again. For it certainly appears that Guy Weston knows how to murder to perfection. He is so sure of himself that he's candidly told his brother's fiancée, Nikki Carpenter, that he not only murdered her sister, but two previous wives. Furthermore, he's freely admitted that he intends to murder his next wife, Amanda Jordan, and may even do away with Nikki.
Do you mean to say that he stood there and confessed to you?
Confessed. He bragged. He boasted. Flaunted their murders in my face and said he intended to murder Amanda after they're married.
Oh, I can't believe this, Nikki. I just can't.
He's hit on a way of committing the perfect murder.
Nonsense.
Bill, listen
to
me.
No, Nikki, you listen to me. I don't know what's caused all this. I know you're overtired. I know you're knocking yourself out to get your next fashion show ready. But whatever it is, Nikki, dear, stop it.
Stop what?
These imaginings of yours, these wild accusations about my brother being a murderer, a perfect murderer yet.
Bill, he killed Alicia.
He did not kill Alicia. Alicia fell or jumped from a 12-story window when Guy was in his office miles away. So how in heaven's name could he have killed her?
I don't know. That's what I'm hoping the private detective I hired will come up with.
You're still using a private detective?
Of course.
I warned you, Guy will sue you for everything you've got on grounds of slander, defamation of character, and win.
I know. He told me that himself. He also said that if I push him far enough, he might even murder me.
I'm just not going to believe this. I can't believe it. I'd be an absolute nut to believe it. As nutty as...
As me? Well, is that what you're saying? I see. Well, in that case, Bill, I think... I'd better give this back.
You're giving me back our engagement ring?
Yes.
Nikki, you're...
No. I am not overtired. I am not letting my imagination run away with me. I did not create or invent what I just told you about Guy coming to see me. It's true, every word of it.
Nikki.
Please. He will kill Amanda if I can't stop him. And he'll kill me if, as he puts it, I don't call off the hounds. Well, Bill, I may be a nut with an imagination that's running wild, but I'd say Guy wants me to call off the hounds because he's scared to death they'll run him to the ground. And I'm betting that they will. Betting everything I have. My fortune. My career. My life.
You ask me, she needs a psychiatrist.
She's just terribly tired, exhausted.
So because she's tired, I'm supposed to let her slander me? Wreck my career, my life? Do you know that because of that crazy phone call Nikki made to Amanda, Amanda almost called off our engagement?
Well, she didn't. You're married. No harm done.
Hello, Amanda. Nikki. Amanda, I'm just calling to tell you that Guy is going to murder you after you're married. Now, that's a hell of a thing to say. I mean, that's just a plain hell of a thing. And when that tape is played in court...
Tape? What tape?
Oh. Amanda had a tape recorder hooked to her phone. Automatically taped messages. She's an alcoholic, you know, and most of the time she can't remember who called her about what, so she records all conversations.
Guy, do me a favor, will you? Destroy that tape and call off your suit against Nikki.
Oh, Bill, I can't. The accusations she's made, everybody knows about them. Nobody believes them, of course. At least, I hope nobody believes them. But she's made a laughingstock of me, Bill. I just can't sit back and do nothing to protect myself.
I suppose not. Well, thanks for your time, Guy. I'll see you.
Wait a minute.
Yes?
Oh, well, hell, you're my brother. I'll do it for you.
You will?
Yes, but with one proviso, Bill.
Name it.
One more word out of her about me. One more crazy accusation, and I'll nail her to the wall. So help me, I will.
There'll be no more accusations. I'll see to that. Somehow, I'll convince her.
Excuse me. Yes, Miss Mason. Captain? The police? Well, sure, of course, put him through. Now, what can this be about? Yes, Captain, this is Guy Weston. You're calling from my home? But what are you doing? Of course I can come home right now, but what's happened? Captain, stop beating about the bush. What the hell has happened? Wait. What? You're sure? Oh, yes, I'll be there as fast as I can make it. Amanda dead.
Dead? A man?
He said the captain, the combination of alcohol and sleeping pills. Oh.
Easy. Oh. Look, I'll go home with you.
Yes. Please, get my hat and coat.
Here, your coat. Let me help you.
Thanks. Oh, Bill, I guess you know this means I can't call off my suit against Nikki.
Because Amanda's dead.
Nikki's accusations, everybody will believe they're true now. Well, I've got to prove they're not. I'm going through with the suit, Bill. I have no option. Wait a minute, Nikki. Don't close the door. Let me in.
I'd as soon let in a snake.
If I was afraid of snakes, I'd want to keep an eye on them. Know what they're up to. You better let me in, Nikki.
Right, Guy. Make it quick. No, don't sit down. You won't be staying that long.
Oh, I think I will. I got a lot to say to you, Nikki.
Well, then say it and get out.
First thing I want to say is that, of course, Amanda's death was no accident.
I know that.
The second thing I want to say is yours won't be either.
What?
You've gone white. Well, I can't say I blame you. I'd be scared, too, if someone told me I was going to kill myself.
Oh, I'm going to kill myself. Commit suicide, just like that.
Mm-hmm. Just like that.
And you're going to see to that?
I am.
And what reason will I have for taking my own life?
Guilt. Shame.
Guilt? Shame over what?
Of making false accusations against a certain Guy Weston. Me.
The accusations I made against you were true, not false. So why should I feel any guilt or any shame?
Yeah, Nikki, you are going to murder yourself, so to speak, just as my European wives did. As Alicia did. As Amanda did. Since you're going to be my next victim, I should think you'd like to know how it's all going to be accomplished.
I am not in the least interested.
I'm going to tell you anyway. I've said this before, and I apologize if I bore you, but I am quite possibly the only person in the world who has discovered how to commit the perfect murder. Would you believe that I found myself taking karate lessons in Japan when I was there? Now, so help me, I did. And suddenly, one day, the thought crossed my mind. If you can use an opponent's physical strength or weakness against him, why can't his mental strength or weakness be used against him as well? The answer, quite simply, is, of course, it can.
I don't see how.
You will. You will, my darling, you will. Now, consider Alicia. I had only to find her weakness to ensure her death. And I did. Her weakness was agoraphobia. Let's see, intense fear of heights. The reason such people fear heights is because they have a powerful, often overwhelming compulsion to throw themselves off into space. Well, such was Alicia's weakness. The weakness that I turned against her.
How?
Simply by laughing at her, showing contempt for her fears, taunting her for her inability even to go near a high window. I needled her, goaded her, irritated her until, to strike back at me, to prove me wrong, she would go to that 12th-story window of our apartment again and again and open the window and stand looking down at the traffic far, far below and say to me, "See, I can do it."
Oh.
And she did. Until the day I knew would come sooner or later. The day her nerve broke, compulsion overcame her, and she threw herself to her death.
Oh, you...
Now, wait, no, 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 oh, no, no, claws, put it in the door.
Please.
Don't you tie your claws on. Don't you tie your claws on again. Now, as for Amanda, her weakness was alcohol and sleeping pills. My first step in murdering her was merely to replace her pills with placebos, which, of course, had no effect. Now, when she complained, I told her she probably needed stronger sleeping pills and saw to it that she got them, along with plenty of drink, you understand. Her death was a foregone conclusion. Once again, using my victim's weakness against her, she killed herself. And I, the real murderer, remain scot-free.
And I am your next victim.
You are. You'll be dead within 2 weeks. In fact, you don't know it, but you've already written your suicide note. On this.
That's one of those shirt pocket tape recorders.
That is, you see, I was carrying in my shirt pocket. Everything we've said to each other since I came through that door has been recorded on this tape.
Yes, but I did not record a suicide note.
Correction. You will have. Once I have edited and altered the tape, then re-recorded it. I'll let you hear it. Well, that's the least I could do.
And perhaps you'd be good enough to tell me what strength or weakness of mine you intend to use against me.
With you, no weakness. Strength.
Which is?
Come on, you know your strong point as well as I do. You tell me.
It's my imagination.
Precisely. Within 2 weeks or less, Nikki, you're going to be dead.
Huh?
Murdered. By your own imagination.
Murdered by her own imagination? How in the world can that be done? Come to think of it, people have been killed by terror, by sudden fear, overwhelming panic. But it can't happen that way with Nikki. She's too strong, too self-controlled. What way, then? What plan has Guy in mind? We'll find out shortly when I return with Act 3.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off, the sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried sign-off sinus spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's sign-off sinus spray. When sinus flares up, use sign-off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-off.
Exactly.
Sign-Off, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
Who knows what troubles lurk in the hearts and minds of consumers? The man from the Meta Business Bureau goes.
Oh, and I'll take that red top twisties, too. Just wrap all of them and I'll take them along.
Wait a minute, madam. Do you really need all of those?
Why, who are you, sir?
I'm the man from the Better Business Bureau with a shopping tip. Sometimes consumers buy on impulse a pretty package, an unusual color, something you really don't need and may return. That takes your time, the store's time, and you may find that some items won't be exchanged. Remember, if you don't need it, don't buy it.
You're right, and I appreciate your help.
Not at all, madam. That's why I came around with another service from your Better Business Bureau.
Can your imagination kill you? Murderer Guy Weston says it can, and since he's been eminently successful in doing away with a number of victims, it would appear that Nikki Carpenter is about to become his latest. He won't kill her. Oh, no, no. She will kill herself, the instrument of death being her own imagination. Up to now, Guy Weston has murdered to perfection. Up to now.
Hello?
Hello, Nikki. This is Guy. No, don't hang up. Oh. I want to play your suicide note to you.
If you think you can scare me...
Scare you? That's not my purpose at all, Nikki. I simply want to keep you in touch. Now then, here's the first step to your murdering yourself. Listen.
The accusations I made against Guy Weston were false. I feel guilt, shame. I'm going to kill myself. Commit suicide.
There it is, Nikki. Your suicide note in your own voice, recorded by you on the tape recorder, that will be found in your apartment.
You vile, evil...
Bye for now, Nikki.
Now, Nikki.
Bill. Oh, Bill, you've got to help me.
Of course I will, sweetheart.
I'm so sorry I broke our engagement. That was stupid of me. But I was so upset and frustrated.
Don't you think I realize that? The nice thing about a broken engagement is that it's easily repaired by putting the ring back on the girl's finger. Now hold out that pretty hand of yours, young lady.
Oh, Bill.
And now, kiss to make sure the repair holds.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's a repair that'll hold forever.
It will, my darling, it will.
Now then. New fashion season or no new fashion season, you're going to take a week off.
A week off?
At least a few days. Get away from work, out from all the pressure you've been under.
Bill, what are you saying?
I'm saying that I'm going to take you up to my place on the lake for a long weekend. See that you rest, relax, and recuperate from the heavy workload you've been... What is it?
You haven't believed a word I said.
Well, now, Nikki...
No, everything I've told you. Guy admitting he's a murderer... Saying he's going to see that I kill myself, the fake suicide note he tricked me into taping. You don't believe any of that.
Nikki, sweetheart, we've been through all this. But you broke your engagement to me because of it. Now, don't...
Please, will you believe me? Will you please believe that what I'm telling you is true? Your brother Guy is a murderer. He murdered my sister Alicia by tricking her into jumping out of a window. And he murdered Amanda, as he said he would. And as I told you, he would.
Amanda died from combining alcohol with sleeping pills
that were any number of times stronger than anything she ever took before. Your brother murders people by tricking them into murdering themselves. And he's told me that he's going to do the same to me.
Why, maneuver you into killing yourself with your own imagination? Nikki, be reasonable. You know you'll do no such thing. Sure, sure. You're a highly imaginative woman, but you're also a very practical, down-to-earth woman.
If only I could convince you...
Let me convince you of something. Convince you that one of the best things you could possibly do would be to...
Yes?
Do what?
Have dinner with me tonight, then go to the theater afterward.
Oh, Bill.
Look, I'll pick you up at 6:30. Cocktails, dinner, and any play or musical you want to see. Date?
Oh. Date.
Oh, excuse me. My name is Bill Weston, and I believe I have a date for dinner in the theater with a very charming young woman.
Yes, you have.
And is she ready?
Just about. All she has to do is put on her hat and gloves.
Not before she gives her husband to be a kiss.
What? Spoil my makeup? You have to wait till we get back.
Something to look forward to. Hey, snazzy hat. You do something for it.
Thank you. Ouch. Ooh. There's something in the finger of this glove. Look, my finger's bleeding.
Let me see. Well, your finger's cut.
Well, how could I possibly cut my finger on a glove?
Just a sec. Turn the glove inside out. How did this get inside your glove?
What? What is it? I don't see it.
Well, it's so small, you can hardly see it. A tiny bit of glass.
Oh, how could anything like that get inside my glove?
I don't know, but...
Oh, dear. Excuse me.
Hello?
Guy, Nicky.
Yes?
Brother Bill told me he's taking you to dinner in the theater tonight.
So what of it?
Nicky, don't wear gloves tonight.
Don't wear...
Oh, dear. I'm too late. You've already put them on, have you? And cut your finger?
Yes.
Oh, well, just a scratch. I mean, nothing to worry about. Unless the bit of glass inside your glove was poisoned.
Poisoned? Hello? Hello?
Honey, what is it?
He hung up.
Who?
Your brother Guy. My murderer.
Nicky. How do you feel?
Sick. My headaches. My stomach's upset.
But if Dr. Welch said he could discover no signs of poison...
He won't be sure until he's tested the blood sample he took. Why doesn't he phone? Here.
All right, with the doctor. Hello? Yes, doctor. Oh, good, good. Well, doctor, we appreciate your coming over and all you've done. Thanks again, doctor. Not a trace of poison, Nicky.
Well, then why do I feel so awful?
I guess because you thought you might have been poisoned. But you weren't, honey. It was just all in your...
Say it, Bill. It was all in my imagination.
Then you admit, Guy, you admit you telephoned Nicky last night.
What is this, Bill? Some kind of inquisition? You walk into my office the first thing in the morning and start shooting questions at me as if I were guilty of something. Yes, I did phone Nicky last night. What about it?
What did you phone her about?
To tell her I was withdrawing the suit I brought against her for defamation of character.
You are withdrawing it?
Yeah, I know I said I'd have to go through with it, but... Well, you are my brother. And she is your fiancée, and oh... Well, hell, I just couldn't go through with it, that's all.
And that's what you phoned her about?
What else would I phone her about? Well?
Forget it, Kai. Forget it.
Oh, it's 3 a.m. Who can be calling?
Hello?
Nicky, listen.
The accusations I made against Guy Weston were false. I feel guilt, shame. I'm going to kill myself. Commit suicide.
Pleasant dreams, Nicky. Pleasant dreams.
Oh, no. Oh, no. You, who you think you are. I mean, I am Nicky Carpenter. I created the Nicky Carpenter collection and not you.
Nicky, please.
Oh, shut up. I've heard enough out of all of you. Now, you listen to me. When I ask for black mousseline, I want black mousseline. And when I ask for white file, I want white file. I don't care what your reason is. Don't change my orders. Now, get out of here, all of you. The lot of you. Get out. Get out.
much. I'm sorry.
Please. Please, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Please. Please.
Yes? Yes, put him through. Yes, Dr. Welch. I'm worried about her, too. She's not sleeping, not eating, a bundle of nerves. I'm wondering if you could recommend a good psychiatrist. Why? Because I think she's in need of psychiatric help. Huh? Well, I'll certainly come to see you. When? Right. Be in your office in half an hour.
Hello.
3 a.m. and you answer at once? Not sleeping, Nicky?
Oh, what do you want?
Question is, what you want? What your imagination has brought you to wanting? Death.
I won't listen to you.
No need. Listen to your imagination. That's what you've been doing. Imagining how, just quite how, you'll reach the point where you'll kill yourself.
You, myself.
The gun is in the drawer of your night table.
Oh.
Save yourself a lot of agony, Nicky. Use it. Tonight. Now.
Yes, good night. It's late. They'll be closing the chapel in half an hour. Everybody's gone. I want to stay with Nicky, be with her as much as possible. Until she's buried tomorrow.
There's no good to punish yourself, Bill. She's gone. Nothing you can do now.
But could I have done something before?
Before?
Listen to her fears, her worries. Guy?
Yes.
I'd like to look at her before. Could you ask someone to come in and open the casket?
You don't want that.
Yes.
No.
Guy, please.
Bill, she isn't presentable. You know, a gun to the temple.
Yes, yes.
All right.
All right. But I'll stay till they close the chapel at midnight. I won't do the same for you, though, Guy.
You won't. For me.
When you're lying in your casket to be buried next morning, I'll not sit with you, keep no vigil for you. Not for a murderer.
You're saying some very funny things, Bill.
I know you killed Nicky.
You what?
I know you killed her. Made her kill herself. Drove her to it.
Bill, I think you could use a drink.
You can use a lawyer. Get yourself one. I've got you with the goods, brother.
What are you talking about?
I was there, in Nicky's apartment, when you called and told her about the gun. I heard every word on the phone extension. I made a point of staying with her constantly. After a little conference I had with Dr. Welch, Nicky's physician, who convinced me that she was as sane as I am, living on the edge of nerves, nerves rubbed raw, driven to the end of her rope, her emotional rope, and imagining things.
You were there when I phoned?
Oh, more to it than that, Guy. I went to your place, found the original tape, the one you recorded her suicide note from.
You're lying.
Am I?
You couldn't have found the original tape. I destroyed it.
Then there was an original.
What?
You just admitted there was an original tape from which you recorded, edited, altered, and re-recorded Nicky's suicide note.
All right. All right, you're so bloody damn smart. All right. I did kill her the way I killed the others, by... are using their weaknesses, their strengths, so they would kill themselves. So do me something. Huh? Prove something. So I slipped. I admitted there was an original tape, so what?
Who heard me say it?
You?
Me?
Her? She's dead.
No, Guy. I'm alive. I'm very much alive.
Nicky?
You have been tricked this time. I did not kill myself. It was all fake.
Once I was convinced Nicky was telling the truth, trapping you, Guy, was simple.
Trapping me? You haven't trapped me.
But we have. You've admitted everything.
Who heard me? You? Her?
And you, Guy. You.
You think I'd testify against myself in a court of law? Testify against myself?
As a matter of fact, you will.
You're crazy.
But this isn't.
A tape recorder. A shirt pocket tape recorder.
You used this same little device to drive Nikki to suicide and failed. I'll use it to send you to jail. And Guy, I'll succeed.
And so, imagination. This time, not only Nikki's, but Bill's imagination, the most powerful force on Earth, for good or ill, brings an insidiously clever murderer to ground. I'll be back shortly.
The strangest thing happened last night when I was walking home from work. It was almost dark. And then I saw someone. A woman struggling to change a tire. I stopped. She stiffened. I think she was afraid of me. And then something strange happened. We talked. I mean, really talked. There by the roadside, changing a tire. She told me how scared she was. She wanted help, but was afraid of the kind of help she might get. I told her I had fears like that, too. And I think she understood. And then she drove away. And I didn't even get her name. But I listened to her talk. And she listened to me, too. And you know, that made me feel good.
A word for active listening from the Mennonite Churches.
When you first joined me, I spoke of imagination as a world of fantasy, then corrected myself to say it is a world of reality. I'd like to correct myself again. It is truly a world of fantasy and reality. Question is, which is it? When? Our cast included Mercedes McCambridge, John Newland, and Joseph Campanella. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. Now, a preview of our next tale.
Joe.
Gang?
Joe, there's something crazy going on in this house. Something real crazy.
Now, Amy, honey.
Joe, listen to me. There's something wrong. I don't know what it's all about. I don't know what's happening, but Jack says he never saw me before in his life.
What?
And never proposed marriage to me, and he did. And she, his wife, she came to my bedroom with an axe.
Hold it, for chimney's sake, hold it. Amy, you're not making sense.
Oh, I know I'm not, because what's happened here, what's happened to me, it doesn't make sense.
Will somebody explain this?
Joe, a mistake of some kind has been made.
A mistake?
Your sister, I haven't wanted to spell this out in so many words, but since you're here now and can take care of her, I'm afraid your sister is crazy.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
At KOIN in Portland.
CBS News. President Ford says that he will go before a House subcommittee to answer questions about his pardon of former President Nixon. I'm Ann Crosman, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Mr. Ford's statement is in a letter delivered last night to Democratic Congressman William Hungate, chairman of a House Judiciary Committee subcommittee on criminal justice. The president's original response to the subcommittee request for answers brought quick criticism from members who said it was not adequate. Mr. Ford's latest action is much more acceptable to one of his critics, subcommittee member Bella Abzug.
When the questions which were posed in my resolution of inquiry were originally propounded or sent by the chairman of the subcommittee to Gerald Ford, he simply sent along a batch of White House press releases and an accompanying letter of press conferences which he and Mr. Buchan held, which revealed revealed a very non-serious and trapping attitude that demeaned the authority and dignity of the committee and the parliamentary procedure. And so the president is now appearing because he must realize that what he had previously did was totally inconsistent and, in matter of fact, in attempt to thwart the purposes of a resolution of inquiry.
President Ford sent his letter to Hungate that he would like to appear before the subcommittee at a mutually convenient time within the next 10 days. White House Press Secretary Ronald Nesson says that Mr. Ford decided that the best approach was the direct approach. Nesson also said that the president expects the hearings to be public, but that it will be up to the subcommittee to decide if the hearings should be broadcast. More CBS News after this.
Give your hand to a friend. Give your heart to your love. But give your gold to contact, the sooner the better.
6 or 3 or 1.
Please don't give me problems. I'm catching a common cold. Sneezing, drips, congestion.
Give your cold a contact. For up to 12 hours, continuous relief of those symptoms. You'd need 6 cold tablets, 2 every 4 hours, or 3 ounces of cold's liquid, 1 every 4 hours, or just 1 contact.
I know, the tiny time pills.
Right. Both the others are things for aches and fever, and the liquid, something for coughs, not found in contact. Your cold, your choice.
Sneezing, drips, congestion? I'll take the contact.
Give it cold. Contact, yeah.
6 or 3 or 1. Take contact. Only as directed.
The Watergate cover-up trial is set to begin this morning in Washington. Former President Nixon has been subpoenaed to appear as witness for both the defense and the prosecution. But his doctor says that Mr. Nixon should not travel to Washington for at least a month and maybe 3 months because he is not in good condition following treatment for his phlebitis. The doctor does say that Mr. Nixon probably could provide the court with a written deposition in 2 or 3 weeks. Another way Mr. Nixon could testify without being in Washington is being advanced by lawyers for former domestic affairs advisor John Ehrlichman. And Fred Graham has that report.
Ehrlichman's lawyers have seized on a technique that's new to the law but growing in use, videotaped testimony. They've reportedly demanded that if ill health keeps Mr. Nixon away from the trial, his deposition be taken at his California bedside if necessary and videotaped so that it can be shown to the jury on television. In a motion filed with Judge John Sirica and sealed by him to cut down on publicity until the jury is sequestered, Ehrlichman's lawyers reportedly asked to bring Mr. Nixon to the courtroom by television or for a delay in Ehrlichman's trial until Mr. Nixon is well enough to attend. Earlier, Gordon Strawn, the young former White House aide who was the 6th defendant in the case, was granted a delay in a separate trial by Judge Sirica. Strawn had claimed that tainted evidence had been used against him, and his lawyer was expected to complicate the trial by frequent objections. So the prosecutors asked that Strawn be dropped from this trial, and since it may consume more than 3 months and hundreds of thousands of dollars, they may not bother to ever bring Strawn to trial. Fred Graham, CBS News, Washington.
More in a minute.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. For many of the 6 million retarded Americans, these rights are not self-evident. Laws and the attitudes of society confine them to institutions or deny them their rights in the community. The right to education and training. The right to a job for which they are qualified. The right to live where they choose. The right to marry. The right not to be sterilized. Through litigation, legislation, and administrative decisions, changes are taking place. If there is still discrimination against this silent minority in your state, become concerned. Contact your local association for retarded citizens or write President's Committee on Mental Retardation, Washington, D.C., 20201.
United Auto Workers last night reached tentative agreement with American Motors on a new contract. If the rank and file ratifies the contract, a 2-week strike against AMC will be ended. The strike has idled about 18,000 workers, most of them at AMC's main plant in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Arab foreign ministers attending a dinner hosted by Secretary of State Kissinger last night urged him to keep trying to achieve a lasting peace in the Mideast. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
Oregon wildlife officials say they might have to postpone the start of the Oregon deer hunting season because of the high fire danger in Oregon's tinder dry forests. The season is scheduled to open next Saturday. Les Zumwalt, the assistant wildlife director, says a decision will be made Wednesday or Thursday. Oregon Senator Bob Packwood, who's running for re-election, says he'll oppose any attempt to increase federal gasoline tax. In a Eugene news conference, Packwood said the Ford administration is contemplating a 10 to 20% per gallon tax hike to bolster revenues and discourage the use of gasoline. Packwood said such a tax would weigh heaviest on those who can least afford it. The Eugene school budget, which voters passed by a 144-vote margin September 17th, is now in danger of being defeated. A recount of one of the 65 precincts narrowed the edge to a single vote. And a group of Eugene residents have petitioned the Secretary of State's office for a recount of the other 64 precincts. A special assistant to Interior Secretary Rogers Morton went to Bonner's Ferry, Idaho, Monday to view firsthand the plight of the tiny Kootenai Indian tribe. Roy Samsel spent 7 hours talking with tribal leaders and visiting the site of the tribe's ramshackle community located on 5 acres outside Bonner's Ferry. Samsel made the trip from Spokane to Bonner's Ferry at the request of tribal leaders after meeting earlier in the day with the affiliated tribes of Northwest Indians. A rural resident of Polk County has filed suit in U.S. District Court in Portland against several Polk County officials alleging he was beaten and detained illegally during a December 5, 1973 arrest at his home. J. Oscar Stowell seeks $100,000 general and $1,395 special damages. Defendants are Polk County District Attorney John Snyder and Sheriff's Deputies Woody Jones, Lee Miller, Richard Manning, James Smithy, Bill Brock, and Larry Bryan. Also named as defendants were Polk County Juvenile Department employee Deborah Ross, Monmouth policeman Richard Brundhart, and Portland policeman David Petrie and Carl Johnson. The suit alleges he was beaten and battered and arrested on a spurious charge and held 21 days in jail before being acquitted. Third District Congressional candidate Robert Duncan said the federal government must support land use planning, but decision-making must be kept at the local level. Duncan told a meeting of the Gresham Chamber of Commerce that Oregon must utilize its leadership in the field of land use planning to encourage development of a federal policy of objectives and standards. And a state police officer who was fired for attending a military training course against orders has been denied an appeal. Trooper Monty Stevens has asked permission to attend the course at Fort Benning, Georgia, but he was refused. The Oregon Court of Appeals upheld the Marion County ruling, which had held that Stevens was guilty of insubordination. The weather for the Portland metropolitan area, partly cloudy today with increasing clouds Tuesday night. Chance of rain Wednesday. Highs today in the mid-70s and near 70 Wednesday. Nighttime lows in the low 50s. Southwest winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Currently, the downtown Portland temperature is 62 degrees. That's KOIN AM/FM News at 1209. This is Alan Archer.